This week's episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast is presented by Greenspun Media Group. Thanks for joining me. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer and columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday to give you an update on all the entertainment news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, plus an exclusive conversation with someone you know or need to know in Vegas showbiz. The Rio is reopening some major entertainment options this weekend and next week. The Comedy Cellar, the Vegas outpost of the infamous New York City Comedy Club, is back in action for the first time in more than a year this Saturday night. Moving into next week, it will return to regular shows Thursdays through Sundays. That's actually one of my favorite comedy spots in Las Vegas, so I'm excited about this comeback. And then on April 22nd, which is next Thursday, Penn and Teller are back on stage in their own theater at the Rio, where they've been for 20 years now. That's one of the most visible shows in Vegas, so it's huge to have those two returning to live performances. Another show I love, the Jabberwockies at MGM Grand, just signed on for a 5-year extension. The dance crew will be locked in at MGM until 2025. Currently, their show Timeless is being performed at the Grand Garden Arena, but that's temporary, and the Jabbas will be back in their own theater eventually, probably later this year. I also got an update from the V Theater at the Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood, where several shows have reopened in the past week or so. V, the Ultimate Variety Show, Nathan Burton's Comedy Magic, and the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater are all playing in the V1 room, and All Shook Up, the Elvis Tribute, The Mentalist starring Jerry McCambridge, and Las Vegas Live Comedy Club are in the V2 room. Some of those shows are running 7 days a week, too, so this has quickly returned to being one of the busiest venues on the Strip, at 6 shows currently playing at V Theater. A whole bunch of major concert announcements have popped up in the last week, and the earliest is Alejandro Fernandez playing September 15th at MGM Grand Garden Arena. That, of course, is the return of an annual Mexican Independence Day weekend favorite. He's been playing there every September for years now. The other concerts are all for 2022, so let me give you a quick rundown. Country star Kane Brown at T-Mobile Arena on February 4th. Reggaeton megastar Bad Bunny at MGM Grand Garden Arena on March 5th. Another country name, Eric Church at T-Mobile on May 13th. And Roger Waters will be at T-Mobile for a rescheduled show on October 1st. Again, those are all 2022 concerts. These calendars are filling up fast, and these huge artists can't wait to get back to Vegas. In a bit of Strip news beyond entertainment, Bally's is purchasing the Tropicana for more than $300 million. This is a developing story, so go get caught up at LasVegasSun.com. But the Trop has been available for a long time now, and it's very interesting to see a longtime gaming operator like Bally's taking control of this property. The Strip continues to evolve, and I can't wait to see what happens next at this iconic resort. This week, we're going to visit with an amazing vocalist who has become a big part of the local entertainment scene in the past few years after joining forces with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Bill Medley to create a new version of the Righteous Brothers. Bucky Hurd was singing and living in Branson, Missouri, when Bill Medley handpicked him because of his incredible voice and style on stage to come to Las Vegas for a new Righteous Brothers residency at Harrah's, which has been going strong for 5 years when COVID closed everything down last year. Bucky and Bill did a few shows together last year at the Space off the Strip, and they're getting ready to go back on the road this summer and get back to business at Harrah's soon. Meanwhile, Bucky has been playing some shows at some long-standing, very popular off-Strip Vegas venues, and he's going to talk all about that. So here's my chat this week with Bucky Hurd. Now, you were born in Alabama, right?
Yes, I was. A little town, like I tell people, if you're a fan of the Andy Griffith Show like I am, I grew up in Mayberry pretty much. It's a little town called Dadeville, Alabama, East Central Alabama, about 2,000 people. We had one red light. It was awesome.
How did you first get started down this path of becoming a singer and entertainer? Was there a lot of music in your house growing up, or what kind of steered you in this direction?
Pretty much, you know, my parents brought me up in Baptist church, and I started singing in children's choir, and I would do show and tell. I fell in love. I loved all the old Disney movies, and I would do show and tell. I would sing for the sing for the class. I was going through some old, I just moved permanently to Vegas a couple of years ago. I was going through some old stuff at the house when I was moving and found an old report card from second grade where my teacher mentioned the fact that I got up show and tell and sang a song for the Aristocats for my class. And I remember that. I was like, wow. And my mom made me a cat costume. So I was in a full on, I can't believe I lived through that. You know, I didn't get beat up, but yeah, I just started at a real young age, loving music. My parents would have play the old reel to reels and have friends over on the weekends. They would have dress in 50s gear and play all the great oldies. You know, I remember them playing Poison Ivy, and my mom was a big Elvis fan, had, you know, was the same birthday as Elvis. And so, yeah, I guess, you know, my dad, not so much. My dad was an old country doctor, and he wasn't as much into music as my mom, but my mom really bought me my first album, which was Chuck Berry's Greatest Hits. So, yeah, I grew up Baptist church and 50s rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah. I think I read somewhere that Bobby Hatfield was actually among one of the singers that you kind of worshiped growing up and listening to records over and over, which a lot of people did. What were some of your other like early favorites?
Some of my earliest albums were Glen Campbell, which is kind of strange, but Glen Campbell actually was played on You've Lost That Loving Feeling. He was one of the guitarists. He was in the Wrecking Crew, you know, I'm sure you know all that because you're a music connoisseur as well.
A little bit. Yeah,
But Glen Campbell, I was a big, and in the mid 70s, I was a big, and Bill makes fun of me for this, I was a big Kiss fan, and I still am. Paul Stanley, I would sit in my room and I would listen to the Righteous Brothers, but Paul Stanley, Kiss, Chuck Berry, the Eagles, the Doobie Brothers, and then lots of old 50s and 60s rock and roll, like Elvis and the Righteous Brothers, and I could go on and on. There's tons of influences, man. I just loved music.
It's an interesting thought that maybe you've brought a little bit of Kiss to the Righteous Brothers.
Yeah. Bill makes a joke. He says to the audience, you know, one of his favorite groups is Kiss. He goes, now when you say Kiss to Bucky, you know, he thinks about the makeup and the exploding fire pods and the blowing fire and the blood and all that, you know, that's when you think, when you say, Bill says, when you say Kiss to me, I'm on my way to second base.
We spoke last year when you guys were doing the shows at the Space. Uh-huh. And you told me the story, and Bill told me the story too, of how you guys got together and recreated the Righteous Brothers. But it's such a great story. Can you explain just a little bit how you first got to know Bill and how he really recruited you for this musical partnership?
It kind of happened over a few years, but I'll condense it. Bill came in. I was working in Branson, Missouri. My girlfriend, now my wife, we moved there in the early 90s, and Branson was just booming with some of the biggest names in the business there. And Bill came in 2006 with Paul Revere and the Raiders performing at Dick Clark's American Bandstand Theater. And we just got to be friends. I had a late night band, and Bill would come sit in with us sometimes. A lot of the acts would. And over the years, we just became friends. You know, we didn't go out with family outings together, but we'd see each other at events, and we were always friendly, and we would talk. And I worked for Legends in Concert for 12 years doing different impersonations on Blues Brothers, John Mellencamp, I did Bob Seger. So I was used to kind of imitating vocalists. And a buddy of mine bought a small theater in 2014 and asked me to front his show. He was doing a Journey show. And shortly after I started, I ran into Bill at a wedding. I hadn't seen him in a while, and I quit Legends at that point. And he was surprised, you know, you quit Legends, you've been there 12 years. I'm like, yeah, I just wanted to spend more time with my family, and Legends schedule was tough. So I told him I was doing this Journey tribute, and he looked at me with the funniest look, like, you do Journey? And I said, well, why don't you come to the show? I never thought he would. The next day, he showed up at the show, watched it, and then invited me to lunch at Fuddruckers, and called my wife, and I said, Bill just invited me to go to Fuddruckers. I was completely kidding, Brock. I swear, I said, I wonder if he's thinking about getting the Righteous Brothers back together. And my wife said, he probably needs a yard boy, and which, a good woman keeping you humble, but yeah, he said, I'm thinking about doing this. You know, Bobby had been gone since 2003, and his manager had been after him. You know, you need to find another partner, but he didn't want to, you know, out of respect for Bobby and the fact that they had been together for so long. But when he saw the Journey show, and he and I were friends, and he said, you know, I might be willing to give this a try. And I didn't think it would. He said, maybe in a year, so I'm not even sure about the timeline. Mm-hmm. And then like 3 days later, he invited me to dinner at a steakhouse in Branson, which I upgraded. I went from Fuddruckers to there you go. In the middle of dinner, you know, I thought he just wanted to get to know me a little better. In the middle of dinner, he holds up his wine glass and says, "So are we going to do this?" And I was like, "What? Are you serious?" And he's like, "Yeah." He said, "We got 3 months at Harrah's. That's all we have. You're going to have to leave pretty much everything," because I was doing shows. I was a vocal teacher. I was teaching at a school there. And so I left everything for 3 months to come into Harrah's in 2016 for 3 months. And it's turned into, before COVID, we were in our fifth year of residency here, 22 weeks last before COVID in 2019. And we had over 50 road shows and opening for the Beach Boys and Michael McDonald and the Temptations and plans, you know, Bill Sounds Better Than Ever. You know, it was just crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. To me, it's such an important show in Vegas right now too, because obviously Bill has been playing Vegas forever, like literally forever.
He opened the MGM, and Bobby opened the MGM.
Right. For the first time there. There are very few headliners from that era, from these past eras, that are still on the strip these days. I mean, like, you know, you think about Wayne Newton, Dionne Warwick was back the last couple of years. Yeah. So that's cool. But like, there's not very many. So to be able to kind of bridge that gap between these different eras of Vegas entertainment is so important, I think.
Yes. Very, it's very, very cool. And, you know, he talks about watching the Caesar's Palace being built. You know, he was sitting in his hotel room watching Caesar's Palace being built. He said, "I just can't even wrap my brain around that." And sitting in the steam room with Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. just sitting there rapping, you know, he said, that's where we would go. We'd go over to the Sands to the steam room. And that's where all the big guys would hang out and just, I just can't even, I mean, can you imagine sitting there with those guys and the stories they were telling? I mean, you know, to have dinner with Bill and to have him just start telling stories, it's just, you know, just mind blowing. You know, like you said, it's iconic Vegas.
Did that feeling for you, that feeling of like, I'm singing with Bill Medley, we're doing the Righteous Brothers stuff, does it always feel like that every time you're on stage, or does it, you know, you get used to things, everybody gets used to whatever, but like that is such a crazy mind blowing thing. Is that dulled over time for you, or is it still mind blowing?
You know, when we first did it, every night was mind blowing, and there's a lot of pressure. You know, I felt like people were looking at Bill when the curtain would come up, and people would be looking at Bill like, oh, there he is. There's my guy, and looking at me like, who does he think he is? You know, but we make it very clear in the show that I'm not trying to replace Bobby. I'm just doing what we think Bobby would want to do, and let's keep this music alive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bill needed somebody by his side to help him do that. And yeah, I mean, when I first started, I mean, it was very intimidating. Because, I mean, like you said, I set up in my room and played these records and tried to emulate Bobby, and he was one of my favorite vocalists ever to hold a microphone. But over time, you know, Bill's become more like a brother, and like he's coming in the weekend. He's going to spend the weekend with me, going to come hang, just get out of Newport Beach and spend the weekend. He's really tight with my daughter. You know, she calls him Uncle Bill, and they text each other, you know. So it's gotten a lot, you know, but still, things happen. Like, we've had Van Morrison came to our show, and to see the reverence, people like him and John Lodge from the Moody Blues. And we had Dionne Warwick came to the show. You mentioned her, you know, even football guy like Jim Fossil, the Super Bowl coach for the New York Giants, really good friends with Bobby, went to high school with Bobby, you know, came and saw the show. And to see the reverence these guys have for Bill is just incredible. And like, I'm standing there seeing these guys that I worshiped going, when you're done talking to Bill, can I get my picture back with you? my friends aren't going to believe it. And people I've met because of Bill, like Chuck Norris. And I mean, it's mind blowing. Like, you would imagine, Brock, on so many levels. Mm-hmm. But I have kind of gotten used to it a little bit. You know, he's more like my brother Bill now than my boss and my, you know, but he means so much to me and my family, and he's taught me so much. It's been, these last few years have been like going to rock and roll university, you know, learning a lot. I mean, I have a degree in theater, and I think I've learned more from him in these last few years than I learned in my whole time in college. It's really cool.
You guys, you sing other like classic songs besides Righteous Brothers stuff, in the show, and you've done that throughout your career. I know that you do that. You do Crying by Roy Orbison, and that's like a big crowd loves that every time. After so many years of doing what you've been doing, are there still certain songs that you just love to perform? I mean, everybody loves to hear these hits, but are there some for you that still, after thousands of times singing them, probably you still just love to perform?
Yeah. I mean, Crying's one of them. I didn't realize how much I loved that song. I'd never done it until Bill, he asked me to do it in the show and said, I want you to do something you won't be compared to Bobby doing. So he picked that song and I'd never sung it. It terrified me at first because I'm like, that's Roy Orbison to me. Elvis called him the voice. But I have grown to really love singing that song. And over the years, one of my big songs that I love doing is When a Man Loves a Woman. I love singing that. I never get tired of singing Faithfully or Open Arms by Journey. Those are two, you know, I'm a big Journey fan. I think Steve Perry is one of the most amazing vocalists. Again, him and Bobby Hatfield, Sam Cooke, all those guys are incredible tenors. And it's Ray Charles, man, that's where Bill and I in common. Georgia on my mind. It's one of, I was born in Georgia and raised in Alabama, and that's one of my favorite songs. So yeah, I mean, yeah, there are still a few that if somebody asked me, would you get up and sing one? I normally would pick something like, you know, Open Arms or Faithfully, one of those tunes. I don't do Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss, even though I would have.
That'd probably be pretty hard to talk Bill into that one.
You know, I got to have the makeup on to do that.
In the past few months and weeks, really, you've been singing at two of the most storied Vegas entertainment spots, you know, off strip spots, the Bootlegger and the Italian American Club.
Yeah.
What's it been like to perform in these super local, really intimate venues?
It's been cool, man. You know, I mean, let's be honest, COVID sat us all down, man, made us take a look at ourselves and to reinvent ourselves basically, because it, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be back on the road for a while. With Bill, you know, we were playing 2,000 seaters and, you know, I knew that wasn't going to happen for a while. So I started working with, doing some live streaming with our guitarist, John Wiedemeyer, who's one of the most incredible musicians I've ever worked with. And we just said, do this duo thing. So we started doing some live streaming and got a really great response. And so we decided to do we got offered to do a show first at the Piazza Lounge at Tuscany. We did that. It went over well. So then Ben Spano and Jimmy over at the Italian American Club, God bless them, said, why don't you come in and do your show here? So John and I went in there and did, we've done two shows there. And then Lorraine and Dennis Bono reached out to us and said, would you help us kick off our after hour series? So this weekend will be our fifth weekend into a 7-week run. For them, trying to get that thing rolling again. So it's been really cool. And then we had a bunch of different people sit in last Friday night. At the end of the night, I was on stage singing, John's playing guitar. We had Stephanie Calvert, who sings with Starship, Mickey Thomas. Yeah, I'm sure you know Steph.
She's great.
Mind blowing. And her new husband, Chris Marion, is piano player for the Little River Band. So you got a Righteous Brother, guy from the Little River Band, Starship, Wiedemeyer on guitar, and sitting in there at the Bootlegger, you know, people just, that's the cool thing about that. But we're going to be there every Friday and Saturday for the next 3 weeks. Our last show is on May 1st. And this kitchen's open late, you know, it's like you said, it's iconic. And then, we're doing our third show Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 14th, at the Italian American Club. And joining us will be Joey Melotti, who is, music director and piano player for Barry Manilow, played with Michael Bolton. He's doing shows with Marie Osmond next weekend. I mean, he's incredible musician. And we're going to be doing, of course, some Barry. We'll be doing some Righteous Brothers, of course, and some James Ingram. We're going to throw in some Bobby Darin. Going to throw in a little bit of I love the Guess Who. I didn't mention them earlier, but the Guess Who's one of my bands, and These Eyes, you know. So yeah, man, if anybody, any of your listeners are in the Vegas area, we'd love them to come out. They can still get some tickets for the Italian American Club by going to, I think it's IACVegas.com, and they can go on there and get tickets to the show this Wednesday. They have a great Italian meal at 6:30. And our show at 8, and it's all covered in the ticket price, you know, get your meal and the show. So love to see everybody come out, but it's just been amazing to be able to sing. And still, you know, the first day we got back in front of actual people was just, I can't even tell you. I almost started crying, honest to goodness, because any entertainer in this town will tell you, it's been like our hearts have been ripped out of our chests, not being able to perform. Normally when times are hard, like when 9/11 happened, That's when entertainers step up because people are looking for an escape. And, you know, even if it's just for a couple hours, even during the Great Depression, people had no money, but they would spend what they had to go to the movies just to escape for a while. And when this happened, you know, we weren't allowed to be there when we normally would have been. So it was really different and really tough. But, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, I can see, you know, we can feel the light coming. I talked to Bill yesterday. He's coming in for the weekend. He said, man, I think we got some shows coming up probably in July, August on the road. You know, keeping our fingers crossed and trying to be cautiously optimistic. But we are scheduled to come back to Harrah's in October. I think maybe the last week in September. Donny Osmond's coming in to the same room we are as well. So that's going to be right. A pretty cool 1-2 punch with Donny and us there. Plus the Bronx Wanderers and you know, all the other great shows that are at Harrah's, Menopause and Tape Face. It's just a lot of great shows that are starting to pop back open again, as I know you're aware.
Yeah, I mean, Harrah's has been pretty amazing in terms of being able to continue with some of these smaller room shows.
Yeah.
And in the case of Tape Face, you know, they moved him into a bigger room so that
he's in our room now. And,
yeah.
And then I think they've been doing the girls, the X-Country at night. I didn't mention them, but I think the girls, that show's been going on as well. But you're starting to see things pop up, man. And I've heard May 1st, they're supposed to make an announcement. We'll see how things open up at that point. But, you know, maybe the Righteous Brothers will come in for a show this summer. That'd be fantastic. I know Bill's ready, man. He's chomping at the bit. He turned 80 years old in September. And he's a young 80, man. He's out doing Pilates. He's taking vocal lessons to keep his pipes up. And he said, man, I'm ready. As soon as they turn the lights on, we're going to be back.
Okay, let's get you ready for some weekend fun with my Las Vegas live entertainment picks. First up, let's get over to the Rio for some laughs at the Comedy Cellar Saturday night. The stand-ups on the schedule are Rick Delia, Brian McKim, Kathleen Dunbar, and as always, your host and MC, Mark Cohen. Secondly, let's get over and see Jabberwocky's Timeless while that show is still at the Grand Garden Arena. They first moved in so they could meet distancing requirements. This was back in November. And while some of those restrictions have gone away, they are still putting on this really unique multi-sensory show in this iconic strip arena venue. Seems like a special experience that we won't get to revisit later on. Jabberwocky's is two shows a night, Thursday through Monday at MGM Grand. And last but not least, Sexy the Show, usually found at the Westgate Cabaret, is continuing to produce its special Sexy After Dark edition at Larry Flint's Hustler Club, a gentleman's club, just south of the Strip, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. These ladies have been doing this burlesque presentation on and off at the club since December, and this is another one we won't get to see like this once things get back to usual, so check out Sexy while you can. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Special thanks to Bucky Hurd for spending time talking with me. Go check him out at the Italian American Club Wednesday and at the Bootlegger Friday and Saturday. If you want to find past episodes of The Sun on the Strip, go to lasvegassun.com/podcast. You can also listen and subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. See you next week. Take care.